The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them city ass. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city, and they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up, and that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is December the 4th, 2015. It is a Friday afternoon. I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound because it is a battlefield out there across this land. Let me go ahead and just tell you what I will be discussing today. I will not be on air that long today because our reports, our station, well, not only our digital radio station, Black Talk Radio Network, our statistical reports, monthly reports that we send out are due, but we also send out a report for our social media reach from all the different social media pages that we maintain. What else? Our podcast downloads from different platforms, including our own platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com. So all of that is separate from the stream. But one of the quick stats I will share with you is we actually saw an increase in our listenership above the month of November, above October. Let me straighten that out. November saw an increase of over 1,000 more listeners than the month of October, and that I think I had posted something about it. Let me see if I can find it right quick. By the way, those who are donors to the Black Talk Media Project, they do get emails containing the full reports and whatnot. I think our listening audience was something like 83,000 for the month of November, which would be about 1,000. I do remember this because the way the numbers came out, it was 1,234 more listeners than the prior month of October. So the listening audience is growing, and that is why it is important that you make a donation to the Black Talk Media Project so we can continue to cover our increasing costs related to broadcasting as well as our other media operations. We also have a way that you can support the network by taking out ads on the digital radio station, which will also be embedded in the podcast. So there are a number of different ways that you can support the network. One of the reasons why I won't be on air too long is because I'm again working on those reports, but I have started work on a website, a podcasting, video casting website for a client. This is a new service that the Black Talk Media Project is going to offer. It has not been made public yet. I've known this person and they asked me, you know, how much would you charge Black Talk Media Project charge to do a podcasting website? And so I'm going to make that a new service for independent media producers and whatnot, and we'll host them on the websites on our server, and I'll customize everything according to their specifications and whatnot. So I'm just very, very busy, and I want to get those reports out on time this month, because I've always stated that I will get them out no later than the 5th. And so I got a lot of work to do, so I won't be on air too long today. Just FYI, Tando Radio Show will not be on air, as Brother Dave has been preparing to move his family, and I think that move starts today. So he will not. He has been taking Fridays off, and he'll take this Friday off as well. So Tando Radio Show will not be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time today on Black Talk Radio Network. Some of our media partners do have some programs coming on tonight that you can access their radio stations through our website, blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Context of White Supremacy will do their book study tonight. I'm not sure what the subject will be. I'm not sure if it'll be a continuation from last week's show. I think Ta-Nehisi Coates, they were looking at a book that he wrote. Recently, and so they will be on air. I believe that comes on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as it does every Friday. It could be 9 o'clock. Check the website for those details. Let me see what else. Not sure about race treaty. Not sure if that program is going to continue. That's totally up to Brother Robin Benton. I know he's very active with the Black Lives Matter movement, and he didn't do a program last week. I didn't hear from him. And so I don't know if he's going to continue that program. Maybe we can find a replacement. One of the substitute hosts might want to take that over. But so I don't know if they will be on air tonight. But I do presume that Lotus Place, as Sister Black Rose, usually never misses a program. So they will be on air on this station tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So you might want to join them for a lively discussion about current events and whatnot. I have not published a program description for today's broadcast. I will publish that with the links to the different stories that I want to discuss with you or share with you. When I post the podcast, I will post those links to that story. But let's go ahead and get started. The first thing that I want to do is bring to your attention that today is the anniversary. I don't even think we should be using that word anniversary, but on this day, Illinois Black Panther chapter president, Chairman Fred Hampton, he was the chairman of the Illinois Black Panther Party, and he was assassinated on December the 4th, 1969. I was just 3 years old when he was assassinated by the FBI and the Chicago police. This is pretty much common knowledge. This isn't any kind of conspiracy theory, even though conspiracies happen every day, you know, but it's not a theory. It's a proven fact that the FBI, through its COINTELPRO program, worked with the Chicago police to murder Fred Hampton, to assassinate Fred Hampton while he lay sleeping in his bed. Also, Mark Clark, who was doing security for him, was also killed during the assassination on Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton. Again, this occurred on December the 4th, 1969. It has been stated that a infiltrator of the Black Panther Party, a proxy tool of racism by the name of Pete O'Neill, had drugged the Kool-Aid, and that's what I remember reading, is he drugged the Kool-Aid, and they, you know, drugged their drinks, and, you know, Fred Hampton was asleep, knocked out in his bed when the Chicago police burst in and murdered him in his bed while he lay next to his pregnant, I'm not sure if they were married, his wife, I think they may have been married, but that doesn't matter. But she was in the bed pregnant with Chairman Fred Jr. who's been on this program before, who is an activist in his own right up there in the Chicago area. So just want to take a moment of silence to recognize the contributions to the freedom struggle. These people have given their lives. Many people have given their lives in the struggle for freedom in this country behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. So we want to take a moment of silence for Chairman Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. Also, in his memory, before I get started with the program, several years ago, I started creating what I call message music. Message music is where I made clip of some speeches that were given by various recognized leaders, elders from the black community, and I mostly focus on black people. And then I put some, you know, some hip hop music behind it, and I call it message music. So about 2 years ago, Facebook reminded me that I had posted a YouTube video on our YouTube channel of the message music that I made in memory of Chairman Fred Hampton. And you probably heard me play it on this program before, but I want to play it for you now before we get started with the regular programming and discuss the things that I have for you today. So let's go ahead and roll that. I really don't have a name for this. I just call it in memory of Chairman Fred Hampton. So let me go ahead and pull that up. I'm not going to play the video because I got the audio file on my board. If I can just locate it right quick. Why don't you die for the people, I think is what I called it. Why don't you die for the people? Where is that at? Here it is. All right. So, again, this is in memory of Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton, and Mark Clark, who were assassinated on this date by the FBI and Chicago police.
I want you to know that I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary action, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for me. Like we always did, if you actually make a commission at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commission on this, because of the reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did, you're dead already. You're dead already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If your dad will struggle, your dad will win. If your dad not struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see that to me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to peace. I believe that I'm born to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die for spitting on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was just the same thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the table. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary protest struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international protest revolutionary struggle. We didn't need to live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
And one of the famous quotes from Chairman Fred Hampton, I don't know if I should say it's famous, but it's a popular quote, and he stated that you can kill a revolutionary, but you can never kill the revolution. And so we want to just recognize the ultimate contribution made by Chairman Fred Hampton, who was born August the 30th, 1948, and was murdered, assassinated, a political assassination by the FBI and the Chicago police on December 4th, 1969. Now, let's get into some of the topics that I wanted to, or news stories I wanted to share with you today. This story was sent to me by a listener, by actually a comrade in the struggle, on Facebook. But I get so many Facebook messages that it sometimes takes me days to sift through them, as well as my email, which still got about 20,000 plus emails in it. So anyway, this was sent to me a few days ago, and I only saw it like maybe an hour or two ago. Now, you have been hearing that Laquan McDonald, the young man who you saw, we all saw, or whoever saw the video, what you saw was the execution, the street execution, the extrajudicial murder of this 17-year-old black young man, Laquan McDonald, and they have been saying ever since his murder, in when was that? October of 2014, that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system. And I may have even reported that off reading from some of the articles and sharing information with you. But as it turns out, that is just another Chicago police lie. And I found a number of news sources, corporate media sources, including the Chicago Tribune, who is cited by, I forget the name of this other website, but I'm sure y'all have seen those websites, and the title is something like, you know, 5 quick facts you need to know about the Laquan McDonald case, or whoever it is, or whatever the story is about, 5 quick facts. And that was one of the things that they listed as one of the facts, was that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system at the time of his murder. Now, so they had posted a link to the source of their information, which then pointed me to the Chicago Tribune. So I read the Chicago Tribune. That's one of the papers of record in the city of Chicago. And in that paper, or on that online news entry, they stated that the police said that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system. They did not say autopsy report said it. They did not say the medical examiner said it. No, they said the police said it. And so now, including myself, and, you know, I make mistakes, and I try to do the best I can to confirm information. And if I make a mistake, I make sure to come back and give you the accurate information and, you know, tell you I was in error. Well, if I did state that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system, which I don't recall me ever saying that, because I tend to not even mention any kind of drugs that they have in their system, from toxicology reports and stuff, because I say that's not justification to murder that person. That's not a justification, because what was the young man's name? I mean, there's so many victims, it's hard to keep up with them all. But Trayvon Martin, when they were saying, oh, he had weed in his system. And what? What the hell does that mean? What? Because he had weed in his system, allegedly? You know, that he deserved to be murdered by George Zimmerman or whatnot? So, you know, the police have been saying that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system. It turns out to be a complete lie. A complete lie that has been repeated often. I can recall hearing it recently on the mainstream media as I was talking to some of my family members. I was like, I just found out somebody sent me the autopsy report, a link to the autopsy report that's posted online, and he did not have any drugs that they tested for. All of those tests came back negative. So the only source of information that you got, that corporate media, ABC, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them, Chicago Tribune, whatever other papers in Chicago, the other alternative media websites, they have all been saying that Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system, and that is a lie. It is a straight-up lie, and it is just pattern and practice to demonize the victims of police terrorism, to somehow suggest to you, because they had drugs in their system, or they had alcohol in their system, or whatever, that was totally justifies their murders at the hands of police. And again, if you think that you can believe anything that comes out of the mouth of police, this is just more evidence. You can't trust nothing that these liars say. They've been doing this for hundreds of years, lying about the people that they have killed, demonizing people. You know, they have to be a little bit more nuanced today because, you know, when the first police departments was created in the 1600s, you know, they could just simply say, oh, we killed the nigger, and that would be it. They wouldn't, no further explanation needed. Don't nobody care, you know, other than the person's family member. So now they have to be a little bit more nuanced with their lies and whatnot, and they come up with these elaborate stories. And, you know, even though it doesn't take, you know, a genius to just lie on somebody and say, hey, this person had drugs and he was on PCP, and that's why he wouldn't give up to the police, and that's why he was walking away from them and he lunged at police and all that. Man, straight up lies. Those people, I don't care if it was police union, president up there in Chicago, whatever, the PBA, whatever they're calling themselves, whatnot. All these people need to be indicted in the conspiracy to cover up this murder. And then the corporate media. Now, I understand that people make mistakes, but listen, I do this. I don't put too much credence on degrees. People getting degrees, college degrees, not that I'm, you know, downing anybody that has a college degree, and I'm, you know, down on people getting education, but it really ain't nothing but a piece of paper. All it means is that you can regurgitate the information that was told to you by the teacher, or you got out the textbook and then you took a test on it and you got a degree. But that does not mean it's not an indicator of your intelligence. It's not an indicator of you being able to critically think about things and analyze things. And so a lot of these journalists, man, they ain't nothing but glorified spokespeople. Because all they do is pretty much, well, if you look at a newscast and the people that was telling you Laquan McDonald had PCP in his system, all they were doing were reading from a teleprompter. They went to school for four years, however long they went, spent however much money to get a degree to read from a teleprompter. Really? You know? Really? I mean, look at, have you seen Al Sharpton's show? I think it's still on the air, but I hear he's about to get fired. So, you know, I hesitate in even calling these people journalists, but you would think that these major papers like the Chicago Tribune, and they would have the resources or they would have the wherewithal to ask the police, well, where are you getting this information that Laquan McDonald was on PCP? But apparently nobody asked that question. Nobody asked them. Nobody tried to independently verify it. And we just, you know, and again, even I have to catch myself sometimes. But we just share this information and share it on Facebook, social media, and whatnot. And then we're, you know, talking about things. And then we find out that they're lying to us. These people are liars, man. They are liars. And they concocted this lie that Laquan McDonald was on drugs, on PCP. And then if you think about all the reports that you have heard from people who knew him, people who were in his life, like his teachers at the school that he went to, the people that was trying to help him while he was a ward of the state, it just didn't jive that he was a drug addict, that he was on drugs. It just seemed out of character. They were saying how, you know, despite his circumstances, how he would joke and laugh, how he would hug people, you know, on the staff of the school that he went to. And, you know, and they were saying they were making inroads with this kid despite the horrific life that he had led because of his sorry ass mama. I hesitate to even call her his mother. And I'm, you know, I usually don't, because I know drug addiction is a sickness and people need help and they do things that they otherwise may not do. So I understand, I read, but I don't know how much that's true, but that she was a drug addict. But that ain't the reason why he was taken from her house. He was taken from her house because her boyfriend was abusing him. Then he was placed with some other people in a foster home, and he was sexually abused. So this kid, this child had a very bad upbringing. His mother failed to provide for him, failed to care for him, failed to love for him. But she took the $5 million to hush it, to keep this quiet. So I ain't got no sympathy for her. Ain't got no love for her. And I'm glad I'm not hearing anything from her telling protesters they need to do this and do that, because she need to shut the hell up and go sit down some damn where and eat her $5 million worth of butter biscuits she got from Rahm Emanuel. So I will, when I post the podcast, I will, and I took a screenshot of it as well, because you know how things can disappear from the internet. But the organization called the Invisible Institute is the one that obtained the copy of the report, and you can find it online. So in the podcast, I will post a screenshot of that. I will also post the link to the entire autopsy report, which is 22 pages long. But on the final page, is the toxicology report. It says they tested him for three different types of drugs, opiates, ethanol, and another a family of drugs that I have problem pronouncing, so I ain't going to try to pronounce it. And they all came back negative. He wasn't even smoking weed. And when, as I was reading over this report, he was in relatively good health. They were talking about, you know, his eyes was clear and his teeth was in good condition and, you know, he was in good shape and all of that, besides all of the bullet holes in his body, the 16 bullet holes that was in his body. So they did a toxicology report. And so this report is over. Let me see. The report date was 12/11/2014. So December 11, 2014, this report has been out there ever since. The pathologist's name is a woman. I think this is a woman. Denica Means is the pathologist that did the autopsy on this young man. And so considering, again, that this report has been out there going on almost a year, it'll be a year in what, a few days here, about a week and a half. This report have been out there for a year, but yet you got the Chicago Tribune and other major papers of record. You got all these corporate media, cable news outlets repeating the police lie. Did they not? And still repeating it. I have not seen one retraction from any of these people, and I was looking for it. I was doing some research on it for about an hour. Not one paper outlet, nobody has retracted this smear of this young man and saying that he was on drugs. Not that I think that people who use drugs deserve to get murdered or deserve to even be put into 21st century slavery and human trafficking. But this was used to do a character assassination on him. And it's scandalous. It's just scandalous that you would report just, and we see this often. I mean, I learned this from speaking to, and I have problems pronouncing her name. But I did an interview with this black woman. She's like in her 70s now. She used to be a journalist working for a black radio station. And during the COINTELPRO years, and again, COINTELPRO ain't never ended. They just call the program to demonize, to assassinate, to kill, to frame people. They still doing it. They just don't call it, they don't have a name for it anymore that we know of. But back in the 60s, well, early 50s, 60s, 70s, J. Edgar Hoover was still alive. It was called COINTELPRO. And what they used to do, they used to have CIA, FBI agents writing news stories demonizing people like a Fred Hampton, Chairman Fred Hampton, like a Sada Shakur, like a, just name any of these Black Panthers that are Mumia Abu-Jamal, just demonizing them, right? And the news media published this stuff verbatim, and she told me even the black media was getting these reports from the FBI, and they would read them on air verbatim. Kailu Nayash. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I can't remember it. She's on Facebook. I interviewed her like 3 or 4 years ago, and she is a political prisoner advocate. But she told me, you know, in that interview, that even the black radio stations was getting these reports from the FBI and reading them verbatim. Didn't ask no questions, So I'm telling you, man, this is why independent media is so important. It is so important. Because they still have the same pattern and practice. All they do is get the press release from the police, regurgitate what the racist police union boss says, and we just, you know, the masses just accept it as being fact. Because, yeah, you know, that pretty blonde-haired woman on TV reading that teleprompter wouldn't lie to us. She got a degree. So it must be true. I saw it on NBC. So it's got to be true. I saw it on ABC. I saw it on my local news broadcast. So it must be true. Or else, why would they say that? Again, you need to do your study of propaganda history in this country. Now, when I come back on the other side of this break, and I'm going to play that another message music clip, backing up what I just said to you from the Frank Church hearing, Senator Frank Church, the hearings they held in the 1970s, exposing your corporate media's role in CIA and FBI propaganda. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. Stay tuned. I will be right back on the other side. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about the killer of Laquan McDonald, who now is starting to surface, played a role in covering up the murder of this Latino janitor, who I think they shot him just as many, if not more times than he shot Laquan McDonald. So he saw it before, he participated in the cover-up before, and he was just waiting his time, sitting at his desk playing Tetris or some other computer game, collecting a paycheck as Anita Alvarez and the rest of them cronies in the Chicago government was trying to make it go away. He was just biding his time. So we'll talk about that story on the other side.
They just hope that he'll never wake up because they never want to meet him on the back. What is y'all doing?
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole News and Public Affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organization?
That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of the CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
I
would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News, and as you just heard him say, I would think it still continues to this day, but I think that if you're a reporter, you got to be, you know, more careful about it. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's the gist of what he said. And if y'all think that practice has ended, then guess what? I got some swamp land that I want to sell to you that you can get rich of, because it's full of swamp gas. Natural gas and whatnot. So, you know, hit me up via email and, you know, we can talk about selling you this swamp land full of natural gas. Yes, this stuff still goes on today. And I would think that the way that you become a national news anchor like a Don Lemon, like a Melissa Harris Perry, I don't know all these people names because I don't spend a whole lot of time watching these people, because I know they're liars. Now, tune in for a bit here just to see what angle they're reporting it on. You can glean some bits of information that is factual, that is truthful. But anything that you read, and I have said, even this program, even the stuff that's on Black Talk Radio Network, don't take my word for it. Do your own research, find your own other sources to confirm what it is that you're reading, that you heard. There's a science to this. Yes, you will make mistakes, but I understand, you know, I'm not just trying to call people ignorant or stupid and stuff, because if you don't know what you don't know, then I can't blame you for not knowing. That's why I do this program, to try to inform you, enlighten you to the things that I have been apprised to, things that I have learned through research and studying. So, yeah, I'm not saying don't read the paper. I'm not saying don't watch cable news, because those are sources of information. You just got to learn how to process it. You got to be looking at them with squinty eyes. You have to always be suspicious. Always be suspicious. Because a lot of times the stuff they say don't even make logical sense. Or they will contradict themselves. You know, somebody will say something, one news anchor will say something that morning, and then that evening they're saying something totally contradictory. So, you know, these people are professional liars, man. Professional liars. That's why they get paid the big bucks, because they ain't got no principles. They ain't got no journalistic integrity. Am I indicting every journalist out there, every news reporter out there? No, I'm not indicting every single one of them. But I'm telling you, I mean, you look at what they're doing to Glenn Greenwald. That's what. Why do you think he's not in the United States? That's the one that published that information that he got from Edward Snowden. Why do you think he's not in the United States? He's probably on the terrorist watch list. Let me go ahead and take this call. Area code 214. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Can I speak to Dashamika?
To who?
Dashamika.
I think you had the wrong number, sir. You just called into a radio station.
Sorry about that, sir.
There's no problem. You have a good day.
You too.
All right, so let me share this next story with you. This is coming from, and I just got through dogging them out, Chicago Tribune, by a reporter by the name of David Heinzman. It appears that Jason Van Dyke, the cop in the Laquan McDonald video, you saw him executing that young man, is tied to another police shooting death. Let me just read a little bit from here. This was published yesterday. The Chicago police officer charged with murder in the shooting of a black teen also played a role in the alleged cover-up of another fatal police shooting 10 years ago, according to court records in an ongoing civil lawsuit against the city. 10 years this been dragging out. Officer Jason Van Dyke admitted now, as part of that civil case, that he copied the work of other officers on the scene, which made his official report match theirs, without conducting his own interviews of witnesses to the controversial 2005 shooting of Emmanuel Lopez. While his role in that case was relatively minor, see, that's his opinion. I don't see covering up a person's murder as being minor. I see that as major. That's a major crime. Where else do we see that? See, this is standard pattern and practice throughout all police departments in the United States. I shouldn't say all, you know, because my little small town, well, I don't even live in that town. But, you know, I can't even recall the last time Mount Holly police, I read about them killing somebody. Or even Stanley police. Those are the two towns I live in between. So I can't correctly say all police departments, but in these police departments where we have a high number of these civilians being killed, this is standard pattern in practice. The man's name was just on the tip of my tongue, Walter Scott in North Charleston. The black cop who saw the white cop murder Walter Scott and then went back to the station and filed a false police report matching the report of the killer cop. Why isn't he been charged? This here, you got this cop who admitted Jason Van Dyke, the killer, the murderer, the executioner of Laquan McDonald, admitted in a lawsuit that he lied in an official police report. So why was he still on duty then? Well, you know, even though he was at desk or on desk duty, he's still a cop. See what I'm saying? These places are bastions of corruption. How many stories do we have to see? So he admitted in a civil lawsuit under oath that he copied another Chicago cop's report and he didn't even do his own independent investigation. We gave a shout out last week to the black cop in Chicago who had become one of those investigators of police shootings, and he was fired because he wouldn't go along with the program and just copy, make his report reflect what the other cops said happened. But no, he did his own independent investigation like he was supposed to do, and he found at least six cases, including Laquan McDonald's, where police were not justified, and they fired this man. So here we got a known liar who admitted to lying and covering up the murder of Emmanuel Lopez, who was killed, murdered, over 10 years ago, and the city still ain't settled this lawsuit, and ain't nobody even been charged in that crime. Let me continue on. It says, while his role in that case was relatively minor, again, this is what I'm talking about. When you have to be careful when you read in these reports, that's not minor, that's major. That's a conspiracy to obstruct justice. That's major crime. It looms larger now as the Lopez family lawsuit heads to trial in February over allegations that Chicago police shot the 23-year-old janitor 16 times without justification, and then concocted a story that they were acting in self-defense because Lopez allegedly tried to run over an officer with his car. We just saw that happen to the young white boy down there in South Carolina. Man, what's that boy's name? I think he was 18, 19 years old, teenager. Over some weed, he got killed. Police killed him, murdered him, and then by witness reports, they said once when they pulled his body out on the ground, they were taking photographs, trophy pictures, slapping high fives with the dead body. These are sick individuals, man. These people are sick psychopaths. They're liars. And I know some of you out there that do media, that have programs, y'all ain't willing to tell the truth about these thugs, about these terrorists. Because you want to, you know, you don't want to be too controversial, and you don't want to go against the grain and call it what they, call these people what they is, and you want to repeat the bullshit talking about, oh, it's just a few bad apples and all cops ain't bad, and then blah, blah, blah. And it's bullshit. And you know it's bullshit. So here they got a liar who participated in the cover-up. And I mean, is that a coincidence or what? Now, I don't know if it was just one cop or several cops who shot this 23-year-old janitor 10 years ago 16 times. But that's just awful, you know. It's just crazy that that's the number of times that Laquan McDonald was killed by Jason Van Dyke. And the only reason he stopped shooting was because some of the other officers who did not lie, and I want to state that they didn't lie, when they were asked questions and interviewed about Jason Van Dyke's actions that day, they didn't lie. They didn't cover up. They said that, no, we didn't see this child throw no knife at him. No, this child did not lunge at him. No, this child did not even say a word to anybody. He was just walking away. Now, I can't say or give you a testament to whether he's a good cop or not, because who knows? Who knows what they've done in the past or whatnot, but on that day, they said they wasn't covering up for this dude. Maybe they found it to be so heinous, so egregious, that they just couldn't get down with it. They was like, man, you just empty your clip in this dude and reload it, and then start shooting him again, and they had to tell him to stop. So, I mean, it should not be surprising that Jason Van Dyke participated in the cover-up of another murder, and that's why he fully expected for his murder at the murder to be covered up. And Anita Alvarez, the Cook County state prosecutor. Now, of course, we, the family ain't going to call for an independent prosecutor because they didn't got their $5 million in hush money. They don't care nothing about it. But somebody in that state needs to be, and I understand some of my activist friends up there, shout out to Mark Clements. I see you out there, bro, who are calling for Anita Alvarez to be prosecuted. She participated in this cover-up. But at the very, in the very least, this woman cannot be trusted to prosecute this case. There needs to be an independent prosecutor, a special prosecutor appointed in this case. And even then, when you get those, I mean, hell, they usually just go along with the program, too. That's why I get so frustrated, man. I get so frustrated. You want to do things the right way. You want to, you know, abide by the law. But we're dealing with lawlessness. We're dealing with anarchy in this country. It is total chaos out there. So, I mean, your solution is probably, you know, just as good as anybody else's. I don't know what to tell you. I see no solution. Oh, people talking about the Justice Department. What the hell y'all think the Justice Department going to do? Huh? What did they do in Ferguson? Nothing. Even though they said they found evidence of crimes, of laws, federal statutes violated, hell, they didn't prosecute nobody. No, they just gave people an opportunity to retire, continue to collect their pensions and whatnot from the taxpayers, didn't charge them with a crime, didn't prosecute them, nothing. So what, I mean, this is pattern and practice for the Justice Department. Again, we live in a lawless land. This is lawlessness. Justice Department ain't gonna do nothing. What the hell is a consent decree? Oh, we consent to having a Justice Department monitor for a year or two. Need I mind you that many crimes have been committed by cops while they had a Department of Justice monitor? You know, so I mean, man, again, it is just chaos, man. Who can you turn to for justice? Nobody. Tell me who. You got to the Department of Justice, the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, talking about she doesn't think that cops should be required to report all the cops, people that she killed. But because of the public outrage, she had to reverse that position. But she has a long history of being pro-police. There are no independent agencies, people. They all work together to perpetrate terrorism against the people who live within the borders and under the jurisdiction of USA Inc. So that's that story. I don't want to keep going on and on about it, but I am not surprised. I am not surprised to find that out. Another story that I want to share with you. This is pertaining to. Let me look at my notes right quick. This is the last story that I'll share with you. Again, I will post all these links. But this is on my Facebook page. I was up. To be honest with y'all, I've had 2 hours sleep since I was last on air yesterday. That's how busy I've been. And then, you know, when I work so late into the night, then I'm drinking coffee. And then my biological clock gets thrown off. And then I can't go to sleep. So I'm still jacked up right now. But I published this morning. After I got off the air yesterday. Remember on yesterday's program, for those that heard it, for those that listened to the podcast, I talked about Samir Khan, the U.S. citizen, alleged U.S. citizen, because we definitely ain't being treated like we got any kind of rights. But I mentioned Samir Khan with the Central Piedmont Community College where I went to school at, even though he's much younger than me. I think he was 23 years old when he got killed. I think it's been 15, 20 years, almost 20 years since I with the school there. But so this young man lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, of Yemeni descent. That's where his parents was from. And then I remember, because it was all on the local news and whatnot, and they were just hounding the hell out this man and his mother and father, and saying that he was working for Al-Qaeda and he was maintaining this website and you know, it was pro-Al-Qaeda and he, you know, all this and that. But yet they didn't charge him with a crime like providing material support. You can make a Facebook page and get arrested. I've seen people get arrested. I've read about, not seen, but read about people getting arrested for putting the ISIS flag or the ISIL flag on their Facebook profile and you know, saying this or that about ISIS and saying whatever they said, they got them arrested. Number of people been arrested this year for that. But somehow, you know, you can be maintaining a website for Al-Qaeda, which I know is really Al-CIA-da, CIA assets, but you could be maintaining this website allegedly for Al-Qaeda from your parents' basement in Charlotte, North Carolina, but for some reason they can't come up with any evidence to indict you and prosecute you for providing material support to a terrorist organization. And I mean, they was harassing the heck out that young man, going to his school, going to Central Piedmont, trying to get an interview with him, asking him questions. He didn't want to talk to him, following him around, calling his house, stalking him, stalking his mother and father. And he finally, you know, he was like, I'm out of here. And he, I read that he moved, I don't know if he was visiting or if he had moved there permanently, to Yemen. Then the next thing we know, he's dead from a U.S. drone attack. Well, guess what? His name came up yesterday. And you, I mean, I don't believe it. I don't know what to believe, to be honest with you. But they mentioned him yesterday on the local news. After I got through Engineering Tando radio show, I was like, let me, you know, because I do record local news and whatnot. And I was like, let me go and see what's going on in my neck of the woods and what's going on in Charlotte. And then they were on there talking, showing the clips of them harassing this young man. And then saying that the San Bernardino shooters, the alleged San Bernardino shooters, because I ain't see them shoot nobody. And I know I can't believe everything the media say, and I know I can't believe everything law enforcement say. So as far as I'm concerned, I didn't see a video of them shooting anybody. So they alleged, as far as I'm concerned, whether they did or not, they were alleged to have been the shooters. But now they're alleging that they got the instructions to make explosive devices from his website. This young man, Samir Khan, was murdered in 2011. So when did they allegedly download these instructions to make explosive devices from his website, Inspire, as WBTV News, a CBS affiliate out of Charlotte, North Carolina, was reporting yesterday? And I'll read it to you because I posted it, and I posted a link to it. But I saw it on TV, but I went to see if I could find the video online. I wasn't able to locate it, but I did find this. Hi, everyone. This is Paul Cameron at my desk in the WBTV newsroom. Tonight we're hearing the explosive devices found in San Bernardino may have been, and see there's a word right there, may have been based on instructions found in the Al-Qaeda online magazine Inspire. That magazine used to be published by a Charlotte man, Samir Khan, who died in a drone attack after moving to Yemen. He died, but he was murdered. He was murdered. And as I was reminded by one of our listeners on that Facebook page, that then they said that he wasn't even a target. He was having dinner with somebody, you know, group of friends, family members, whatever. And so they, you know, they don't care about collateral damage, but I think they were targeting him. And he was killed in 2011 in this extrajudicial murder that is being carried out by the Obama administration. Started with Bush, but I mean, really, we can go back to Chicago police and the FBI on December the 4th, 1969, assassinating Fred Hampton Jr. and Mark Clark. Not Fred Hampton Jr., I'm sorry, Chairman Fred Hampton. This ain't nothing new. They assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. because he was on the terrorist watch list. And that's been proven in the court of law. A jury in a civil lawsuit filed by the King family said determined that the United States government was involved in a plot to assassinate Martin Luther King. It wasn't just that patsy that I think, I don't know if that man's still alive or not. I can't even remember his name. So I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. You got to be. They really, really trying to make a connection there. And of course, they were talking about an unknown police source who wasn't authorized to speak to the public. They always giving you these unauthorized, unknown people because that's what they do. They are arm of state propaganda operations. May have been. So, you know, you just putting out all kind of stuff. And then I read today that MSNBC was publishing documents. They ran up in this couple who allegedly mass murdered these people out there in San Bernardino, California. Reporters ran all up in the house and was taking pictures of documents and stuff. And then published, like, the driver's license and the address of those of the couple of the man's mother, who hasn't been accused of doing anything. And I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but I was then reading on social media yesterday about, you know, the president and these other outlets trying to say, you know, let's not demonize Muslims. All Muslims ain't behind this and all that. But you know what? I started thinking about that. I was like, but every time a Muslim is said to allegedly have been connected to something like this, you call it terrorism. But when it's white men shooting up abortion clinics, shooting up peaceful protests, you don't call it terrorism, do you? You don't charge these people with terrorism. You don't say, you know, I'm like, so you are the reason why Muslims are being targeted in this country. You're the reason why. Don't try, you know, you trying to say, well, you know, all Muslims ain't doing this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you are subliminally planting that in people's mind by your actions, in your words. Whenever white terrorists commit acts of terrorism, you don't call them terrorists and you don't charge them. And they usually survive. They usually live. They usually do not get killed in a hail of bullets, police bullets. They always get taken alive for some reason, but you don't call it an act of terrorism. And I know there is, you know, a strict definition for the word terrorism. And I applied it to the police yesterday, using fear, violence, intimidation to push a political agenda. Clearly, an attack on an abortion clinic is a pushing a political agenda. Surely, an attack on a peaceful anti-police violence demonstration is pushing a political agenda. It fits the criteria for the definition of terrorism. But whenever there are white suspects involved, they, oh no, they're not terrorists. They just got mental illness or you know, they're just misguided folks, or they're just extremists in their beliefs, but they're never called terrorists. They're never charged. I shouldn't say never charged. Timothy McVeigh was charged under terrorism, but he killed so many white people, I guess they had to charge him. He allegedly killed so many white people, because I don't even know if I believe everything reported on that story. So, I just thought, I was like, it blew my mind. I said, I just got through talking about this dude on yesterday, you know, broadcast, and here they are bringing him into this. They may have gotten instructions from the Inspire website on how to make bombs. Well, you know, I don't know, but I do know you can pretty much find anything you want on the internet. And is it, in fact, illegal for you to look up instructions on how to make bombs? I don't know. I don't visit those type of sites. I don't look for those type of things. I don't go to Al-Qaeda beheading websites and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to bring unnecessary heat on myself by people finding my IP address linked to these websites and whatnot. Hell, I'm already, you know, putting my life at risk just by coming on these airways telling the truth about 21st century slavery, human trafficking, and calling these people terrorists and racists, and exposing that the U.S. government supports terrorism, funds terrorist organizations. I'm not the only one to do it, but I mean, so, you know, I'm already probably being looked at for that since I've been doing this for so long. So I don't go to those type of websites. Plus, I have no interest in watching beheading videos and stuff like that. No. I remember when I was stationed in Saudi Arabia, some of them white boys tried to get us to go with them to watch them behead people in Saudi Arabia. I'm like, y'all some sick motherfuckers. Y'all go ahead. I'm not going. Y'all excuse my language. I'm just kind of tired and pissed off. Because it's just so much lawlessness and anarchy out there. Now they're also saying that the woman, the wife, one of the alleged shooters, said she posted on Facebook pledging her allegiance to the CIA asset of Baghdadi, however you pronounce his name. I'm not even going to look it up. The one that they had in custody and let go, the one that is now running Libya, that they helped put in charge in Libya when they illegally overthrew Libya and murdered Muammar Gaddafi and turned it over to ISIS, the whole country over to ISIS, where they have been mass murdering people since 2011, not 10, not 15, not 20 people. Y'all talk about mass, you know, shootings and whatnot, and I'm not trying to minimize what happened in San Bernardino. But try 10,000, try 15,000, try 20,000 people murdered by these proxies of NATO and the U.S. government in Libya. And who knows what the body count. They have been just operating freely, doing whatever the hell they want to do in Libya since the overthrow and murder, assassination of Gaddafi. Ethnic cleansing, racist Arabs. Started murdering every black person in sight. I posted the pictures and stuff. You can go to YouTube and pull up the videos. Ain't nobody trying to go over there and help them people. Because they black. Or they were loyal to their government. Loyal to their prime minister who had made their, you know, standard of living the highest in Africa. Probably higher than many people, millions of people here in the United States. So they were loyal to Gaddafi and they got murdered by these proxy terrorists working for NATO. So, not trying to minimize it, but people want to overblow things. I want to put it in perspective. How many people got killed in the San Bernardino shooting? What, 10, 12, 15? That ain't nothing. Try looking at Libya right now in the murdering mayhem. Look at Iraq, the hell that was unleashed on them people by Bush. So, you know, makes you think about who the real terrorists are, right? These rabbit holes run deep. They run very, very deep. Listen, that's my program. Like I stated, I got a lot of work to do. Got to get these statistical reports out to our donors. If you want to fund independent black media, if you think it's important, If you support the work of not only myself and our other people who work with us, and you want to continue to see this platform to survive on the internet, then please make a financial donation. If you don't want to make it through PayPal, you can make it through, go to the About section. You can get a physical mailing address for Black Talk Media Project. We are a North Carolina-based nonprofit. And I promise you, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a man who believes very much in freedom and liberty. You can even call me a patriot, but I don't like using that word. Because of the people who also use that word and ascribe that word to themselves or anything but. So I will be back on air Sunday night, Political Prisoner Radio, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for some of the other programming that's coming up, some of the pre-recorded programming that's coming up on the station. Tonight, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, I'm pretty sure the Lotus Place will be doing some live streaming tonight. All right. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. It's Battlefield America. Casualties are being created every day. And so you can decrease the likelihood that you become a casualty by developing battlefield skills, utilizing battlefield tools, developing your situational awareness, and then you don't get caught unaware and get gunned down in the streets of America by whatever terrorist, whether it's a terrorist with a gun or a badge or a terrorist with a body armor on and a mask. Don't matter. They pretty much the same to me. So just be careful out there, and especially on the weekends, be careful. Lots of people get made into new slaves over the weekend, so don't you become one of those either. That said, peace and blessings to all.